this is Channel 2 Right. This is Channel 2 Right, and I'm setting it up surely for Thursday, the 17th of September, 1970, the first week of school. The first week of school. This is Channel 2 Right. I'm setting it up on Shirley for Thursday, the 17th of September, 1970, the first week of school, before the summer gets away from us. We want to talk once before the summer gets away from us. This is Channel 2 Right. Channel 2 Right. I'm setting up for Shirley the Thursday, the 17th of September, 1970. This is the beginning of Channel 2 Right. The beginning of Channel 2 Right. I'm setting it up for Shirley for Thursday morning, the 17th of September, 1970, the first week of school, to talk, have a visit before the summer gets away from us.
Right in the middle of that big field, the center field right there. There was a little spring-fed pond there. And Dr. Evans had used the drag line in there and just piled the dirt. Oh, he must have had it 15, 20 feet high there in places around that, you know, to make a big bank so that the thing never overflow. But there's never been that much water in the hole that it would overflow. And it made it hard. The coffee beans would grow up in there and made it hard to get to it to mow it.
Sure.
The way he had it piled up. And the coffee beans just grow and grow and grow, and you couldn't get to it without risking the turning over the tractor. So we just let the weeds grow up in there, and it was an awful snake hole. You know, and the kids would always want to go fishing down that hole, and I wouldn't let them because of the weeds and the snakes. So I was glad to see them in there getting that, you know, making this bigger. They dug all the way out around this and cleaned it all out. We had lily pads in there, you know, about to choke the pond out. And now they've got a good-sized pond, more of a little lake than it is a good-sized pond. So it's going to make a nice water hole for the calves. And we've come out about $2,000 for the dirt.
Surely.
And you ought to see the laneway. They've been hauling in lime rock and filling up all the every bump and nook and crook in the road. And they've got a nice roadway, well drained on both sides, so they won't cause any erosion. And I guess they must have spent about, Berman says that they've got at least $1,500 worth of lime rock alone in there, just on the driveway. So I don't know what to think about it all.
And
something's going to happen.
They just wanted the dirt.
All they wanted was the dirt, and we got the water hole out of it. And got it all cleaned out, and then there's more lily pads in there. Berman's going to get in there in a boat and sort of get them out before they get sick. And what have y'all done about your pond down here that had the lily pads?
Not anything.
We were asking that fellow on the drag line. He says about the only thing I can tell you is it's expensive to get a drag line in to get lily pads out. He says you couldn't hardly afford to do that, but he said what he would do is hire one of these machines that they have over here at the university to get in there and get them out.
Uh-huh.
And he said it's a much smaller machine than
the
drag line is. Good morning.
How do you do?
Good morning or afternoon.
You've done one day, haven't you?
I sure did. Well, you don't know the half of it. Bonnie had come down with something on her foot called what the druggist thought was creeping corruption. Whatever this is, I don't know, but he said it was bad, and he had to cure it from within. She had bumps all over her hands this morning when I looked at her. She said, "Mommy, I'm itching all over." And I looked at her, and she's just coming up with blisters all over. Well, I had sent her to school thinking, well, and then after I sent her, I thought, well, maybe it's something serious, you know, and she kept scratching at herself, in her scalp and everywhere. And the more I thought about that, the more I wanted to get her to the doctor. To find out what this was, really. The druggist hadn't seen this place on her foot, but I had been doctoring it. I thought it was ground itch or athlete's foot or something like this, and I'd been doctoring it and had it pretty well dried up. But then she started breaking out these blisters this morning. So I'm kind of wondering whether it is that creeping corruption. He says it gets all over you.
I never heard that.
I haven't either. I just.
It sounds awful, doesn't it?
If it's creeping, if it's corrupt, we're going to get it.
Let me tell you, Shirley,
nothing good.
I had some fellas out here helping me yesterday, and I kept thinking they'd play out and going home, but they stayed right up at 5 o'clock. I wanted to come over there and see that cow.
I wish, I'm telling you, that is the worst looking thing to come up all of a sudden like that.
Yeah.
We just knew she was snake bit because, you know, a snake bite swells right away, and I figured, well, that's what it was. And then Freddie Wood said, I bet your nickel that's what it is, because he said, every time you get those heavy machineries working around your place, he said, the snakes try to get away from that noise and that machinery and start spreading out. And he said, I bet they came across that field and that cow probably stepped on one and it hit her. Right there in the brisket part, you know.
Yeah.
But she swelled up that big around under there. She couldn't walk. She just waddled like in the front.
Oh, yeah.
And it was pitiful. I just knew she was, we were going to lose her. And I called the vet, and he didn't get out there until 2:45. And they told me he'd be out just as soon as he left one ranch. He'd be over there at our place. And
it must be hard for the vets to turn loose sometimes.
It must have been. And then this guy, he said, had a bunch of calves to vaccinate. And they got out and had to get him back up again before he could leave. And
yeah.
He said all this took time, and he didn't know. He thought he could get over in the morning. So I figured, well, he'll get over here and get gone, and I can still make it, you know. But as the hours ticked away, I figured, well, I'll never make it today. So 2:45 he came, and about the time he left, the kids was in from school. So I thought, well,
day.
There goes my day. So he did. He took a syringe and jabbed a hole in that place there and let out a lot of liquid.
Yeah.
And he just got a sort of like a siphoning hose, put it on the end of the syringe,
yeah.
And just let that water run out of there. And he let out a lot of it and went down. A lot of it went down, but it's still big this morning.
Yeah.
So I got the water hose. He said to run cold water from the water hose onto this. Cause sort of like a cold compress to cause that swelling to go down.
Yeah.
He said, do this about 20 minutes each day, but I wish you could have seen that cow when I squirted her with water. I thought she's going to go right straight up and fly over the pen.
Oh, she didn't like it?
She's not used to me yet. And,
oh, yeah.
She
yes.
thinks I'm going to hurt. Any of the others that I had, I could have done that.
Sure. This one you knew.
But she's one of we got over at Santa Fe. We haven't had about 3 weeks, I guess. And, she's beautiful. Yeah. I was afraid, too, it might have damaged the calf and somehow, but he said no.
Well, now, what do you think it is?
He said it was a bruise. And I don't know. I don't know whether to go along with him or not, because there's three other cows out there in the same shape, getting to be the same shape she's in. But I don't know what to do with them now.
Well,
but he gave her a shot of antibiotic, and he just jabbed the hole in her there to let that water out with a syringe.
What is, out there, a bruiser.
Not a thing. That's what gets me. And the only thing that cow could have got bruised is when they unloaded him from the truck, you know.
Oh.
They jumped from the back end of a semi. But Berman had a heap of pile of dirt there for them to land on, and there was nothing hard. And I don't know. Unless she was, I don't know what she did. Unless she might have tried to jump a fence somewhere and
yeah.
hurt it.
I want to see it. I want to go back over there. I want to go with it. I want to go there for it this afternoon.
I want
sometime.
You to see that pond we've got, though. I'm more tickled about that than anything I've ever seen. you remember seeing that little spring-fed pond in the middle of that field?
I remember very well. It's just sort of a pit.
Yeah, well, that's what it was. Just a little pit. Now it's almost a lake.
Yeah.
The drag line's been in there and just hauled off that dirt until they made a beautiful. And they sloped down the banks, you know, so I can plant grass around there and keep it all mowed. Boy, it looks. Looks like a good job they've done.
And they're still doing
they're winding up now. That's why I was another half an hour late or so, but I was coming out of the laneway, and they had that big drag line, you know, and they were moving it from the water hole, and they're going back to the highway with it, and I had to wait while that thing crawled. Just barely moved, yeah. I told that guy, I said, I don't think I could ever drive one of these things. I said, it'd make me a nervous wreck trying to get where I was going.
But shut up. They just get the dirt and for the lake, is that it?
No, we get $2,000 worth. They got $2,000 worth of our dirt, plus
oh,
we got the lake. And you ought to see the roadway. Yeah, they play. I don't know how much it is they pay a yard, but the amount of dirt they got out of there is $2,000 worth. That's all. $2 short of $2,000 worth.
Well, gee whiz, they paid you to put in a lake.
That's right. Yeah. And they got that big water hole to boot, and they really sloped it down. The way it was before, it was just a mess.
Now, you wouldn't have paid $2,000 to put it in, would you?
It'd be a long time before I'd have $2,000 to put in a water hole.
And then you get your road fixed.
And got all that road all the way down to where, you know, where it was so bumpy there.
Yeah.
That part wasn't even in the, you see, the road comes in like this, and about halfway down they turn and come back to the water hole, and then after you get up this way, going toward the house, you get those bad ditches there, hollowed out places there in the road.
A little pond.
Yeah, and
where the water stands, and you run through it,
and Berman's put—I don't know how many loads after. I bet he's put over 200 loads of pickup loads of dirt in there, and the rain just washed it out.
Yeah.
They went ahead and they fixed all that. They put in around 100 and I think he said 110 loads of dirt, just from that where you turn to go in that middle field on up towards the house. He filled it all in and graded it down, and it's just as smooth there now as it is riding on the highway.
Let me tell you. Once you get a little water hole there in the driveway, it gets bigger and bigger, and you're lost.
That's right.
You're lost. You can't fill it up. It would break you. And the same way out there in them stalls where Faye feeds her horses. Once they get to going there.
Oh, well, I got a mess to do tomorrow. The same things happen inside the stall. You know how they kick when they're eating their feed, and then pretty soon you got a mound of dirt up there. And then you've got all that manure and everything on top of that. And they've got a mountain in there in that first stall, you know. Well, Johnny and I have got to get in there and clean out those three stalls because we had six calves in each, two in each pen. And Johnny left it go, and Berman left it go, and I go down there and feed them and almost shut my eyes and walk back out, you know, and hope the stuff would disappear because I had so much to do. I kept saying, well, tomorrow morning I'm going to do it. And it's gotten away, so about a month gone by, and that place has got to be cleaned out. I can't stand the flies in there. So.
Thank you, Shirley. Drink water.
You've been
wanting those cows a long time.
Yeah, I have. Now I got them. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't find the time to get back down.
Yeah.
Well, I live down there. Berman, I told Berman. He says, honey, he says, where were you today? I called you. He says, the phone rang and rang and rang. He says, 2 hours later, I fell on the phone, rang and rang. So I was down at the barn. He says, well, where were you at 2 o'clock? I was down at the barn. I said, I'm going to get a phone and have an extension and have it put down there at the phone, the barn, because every time I turn around, I'm at the barn.
They don't give her a little glass like that. Give her the whole
He says,
jug.
She can't drink much water.
Well,
no, just
business.
A little.
Well, just let her decide.
I'd live down at the barn, I think, with the cows
if
I didn't have anything else to do.
Yeah.
Oh, I just enjoy. I just sit there. I stand there, find myself standing there for hours just watching them eat, you know, and mosey about in the field.
Wow, they're beautiful.
And hope that so-and-so will come up to the trough so I can get a better look at her and all this, you know, and I find myself down there and let my work go.
I like just old common cows. I don't care how pretty they are. They're all pretty to me.
Yeah, they're...
Old milk, you know, old bony milk cows.
That old skinny cow, I want to get her up and feed her so bad. Thank you. I want to get her up and feed her so bad and try to put some meat on her bones. But she is as wild as they come.
Yeah.
She has really been mistreated. It's strange.
Yeah.
Funny how a cow will get that way.
Yeah.
And she's just a young cow. But I'm going to have her eating out of my hand before long. I can't stand that. I don't like her... run every time I go out there to do something for her, she just take off and go to the far end of the field.
Well, once she gets a taste of it, that'll tame her.
I don't know. You remember that 49 we had out there? She was half Guernsey and half Hereford. She used to have the prettiest calves of any of the cows we've ever had.
Yeah.
And she was that way. When we first got her at market, she was real skinny.
Yeah.
And we fed her a little bit. And it wasn't long before every time I'd call her, she'd bring all the cows up. See, she got to be the lead one of the bunch.
Yeah.
She'd bring all the cows up for me. And old Molly was the same way. Now I haven't got a lead cow.
Yeah.
Old Patches is just as stubborn as she can be. That's one of the milk cows. Well, we've got her in the other field to herself. She'd bring them up. But old Butter and the two Guernseys there, the butter and the Guernsey heifer, will come running for their feed, but those others will still stand back and, you know, look. They just undetermined whether they want to stay out there or come up and get some feed or what they want to do. And then they'll take one look at you. They're just not used to us yet. I guess it's going to take a while.
Well, Shirley, how'd you get into this cow business now?
You mean again, or?
Yeah.
Well, Berman knew that if there was anything going to keep me on the farm, it was going to be the cows. I think that's how I got back.
Yeah, you all had to train out.
Yeah, he took so much money and put it in the house, and I took the majority of it and put it in the cows.
Well, that's right.
And I borrowed a little bit, too, and got a few head, because I told him, I said, well, with what I borrowed with the calves next year, I'm paid off, so.
Yeah.
Plus the interest. And then have some calves left to raise, too, so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm convinced them now they'll all get sick, something will happen to them, and I'll be in the woods. I hope not. You know, like this one here yesterday, got that, what I thought was a snake bite, and got hurt.
That'd been bad, is that snake bite.
Oh, I worried about that. But Freddie says, don't worry. He says, I've had several cows out there to get snake bitten. And he says, several dogs to get snake bitten. He says, their heads will swell up, or their feet or legs will swell up, and he said, it'll go down. He said, it'll go away. And I said, that was your cow, though. This one's mine.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be my luck.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, you had to have
Well, how'd you get in touch with Bill Sneed,
A fellow that Berman works with, Bill Parks, was familiar with Mr. Sneed. He knew him and knew his family and all, And Berman, he kept telling Berman, he says, go over there and see Mr. Sneed. He says, just go over and talk with him.
Mm-hmm.
So we did. We were just riding around one day. We were more or less looking for a bull rather than more cows. And once I saw those pretty animals over there, I had to have them. So we kept going back, you know.
Yeah.
And we talked with him and found him. But he is a real nice fellow. He and his wife both.
Well, now, these are those two-year-olds that are ready for that sunshine sale, aren't they?
That's, well, he said something about putting them in a sale, but when we told him we were interested in them, and he says, well, are you interested in all of them? And we weren't to begin with. And that's why I said I didn't want to borrow any money and buy any, but when he said and gave us a price he didn't, I thought, well, I'll go get some more money and put with this, and we'll get the whole works. So when he said, when we told him we'd buy the whole works, he said he'd let them all go, rather than to keep any part of them and send them to the sale.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
So, that's he didn't have, this was the only little herd that he had that he would let go, I guess.
Yeah.
The rest were all promised or something. I think he has a promise sale or something. He promises so many head for the next year's sale or something like that. I that's what I gathered from the conversation.
Yeah.
And the same with the bull. Berman asked him if he had a bull that was available when we went over there, and he said no, he had so many consigned to a sale.
Yeah.
So we didn't think any more about it, and Bill Parks was talking to Berman. He says, you go over there and talk to him again. He says, I think he'll probably find you a bull. He says, he might be a young one, but he says, at least you'll get one. And everything that we really looked at was a sorry bull. Let's see, there's one over in Alachua, two over in Alachua we looked at. One looked like it was half Holstein, and it was registered.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have had it for 5 cents, and he wanted $500 for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, after we looked a few places, we got so discouraged. There was another place, I can't think of the fellow's name. I know you know him. He's out on a prairie somewhere. He has about 840 acres, I think, 40, 60 acres, out in this prairie land.
Yeah.
And he has two Hereford bulls. I can't think of his name. Berman met him over at Brownlee's feed store.
Oh.
And he said he had two bulls, cold Herefords, that he wanted to sell, and to come and look at them, and he'd sell them for $500. So we went over there and looked at them. and that was the worst ride, joy ride I've ever been on. That we went through swamps. He had some kind of a Jeep pickup, and the thing was, the transmission sounded like it was going to fall right on the ground every time he hit a bump, you know. He said the truck wasn't working right. And I'll bet he took us 25 or 30 miles out in that swamp area.
Yeah.
Out back of the place. Looking at, we went from one bunch of cows to another and trying to find these bulls. And about halfway out there, we went across the place where they had been ditching, you know. And I thought, well, he'll never make it over there. I had Tommy with me, and I was holding him for dear life. You know, every bump we hit, I was just afraid the kid would hit his head on the dashboard. He went over that thing, and I just knew he was going to get stuck. Got over there, and then we came up to water almost up to the fenders and plowed right through that. I don't know. He must be used to going back in there, but
yeah.
I was scared to death all the time, and we were going to have to hike it all the way back, carrying Tommy on our backs. But when we got out there, I thought, well, boy, this better be a good bull, and I wish you could have seen him. I wouldn't take that ride again if he said I could go after him free.
Well, I was discouraged when Vernon said somebody, Don Brown, he'd never seen before.
Yeah.
Well, you buy a bull.
Well, Brown was going to get him. That's what hurt me, you know. I told him, I said, I don't like the looks of him. I said, I wouldn't carry him back if he gave him to me. And the guy was standing right there. I don't care what he thought. I wasn't about to get that bull or the other one either. He looked like he was taking care of about 800 cows out there, and he's just a young bull too, and he's just run down and no feed, and he's I told Brian, I said, I know you can do better than that. I said, let's go back over and see Mr. Sneed. So we did, and we found a pretty little bull, but he's only 18 months old.
There you go.
So I told Brian, I said, I'd like to put him in a little bullpen and feed him.
Yeah.
Feed him up real good, because he's a little gaunt, you know.
Yes, you'll have to keep him on feed.
Yeah, and feed him up real good and get him gentle. He evidently he's not used to feed because he just won't eat it. I tried.
Oh,
really?
I tried 3 days now and he won't eat that feed.
Well, I thought all the animals over there.
I did too. He told us they were on feed, and it's the same kind that he said he was given his, and it's got dairy in it. Feed. So. I got a bucket full. I figured, well, he go right to town. I set it down, and he sniffed at that, and then walked away and went back over to sniff at it some more. He wouldn't touch it. He hasn't touched it yet.
Yeah.
Well, I never heard of anything.
Well, Shirley, you and Berman went out together looking for bull.
Oh yes.
Y'all.
Oh yes, that bull.
Coleman countryside.
We sure did. No, he wasn't about to get a bull once I saw him.
For those beautiful
heavens. Oh, no. He'd come home with about anything. Rather than have to go keep looking, you know, he'd come home with any animal. I was about to let him do it.
Well, Shelley, now you've got, what do you got for him to eat now?
There's the regular dairy feed that we've been giving the cows right along. We just get we got 3 feed barrels, and we just keep them full at all times, and keep rotating it on. Oh, they're on Bahia. Part of this is Bahia, and then part of it was Pangola and crabgrass.
Yeah.
And we've had all those cows. Let's see, there's 35 registered, and with the grade, there's 36 with the bull. And with the grade stock, it brings it up to about 54.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
You got 36 registered
now? Uh-huh. We're counting the bull now.
Mm-hmm.
That's 6 calves, 2 little bulls and 4 little heifers. And those heifers, I can't believe how they've grown since we've had them out here, because they were sucking the cow, and you have to get up close to them to tell which is a heifer and which is a cow. I never seen anything grow like they have. But they're about to eat that field down. We got to do something else. And this rain won't quit, so that we wanted to put the hay up in a hurry and let the turn the cows over there in that pond, you know, where the lake is there now. The place where they've been working.
Now, what have you got over there?
Just been picking there. That's mostly Pangola.
Yeah.
And Alice Clover that we planted that hasn't come up rank enough for hay, so we thought we'd turn them in there and let them have pasturing on it.
Hadn't come up rank enough for hay.
There it is in some places, and we thought we'd cut you know, what we can for the hay and leave some for pasturing, and when we turn them in there, then they can have this, you know, this, clover hay.
Well, didn't you get it in early enough or what?
We were about 2-3 weeks late getting it in.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't, and then it sat there and we didn't have any rain to begin with. And then after it did start graining, we got some growth on it, but it was really too late by then. By the time we got the hay, so it really hasn't done too much of anything, but it will make good picking, you know, if we turn it in.
But you don't have enough of that to carry them through the winter.
No. We've got more hay than I think we thought we would have. We got some coastal Bermuda, and we got Pangola, and there's some crabgrass. I bet it's that high down
if
in the back,
back
there before it goes back, you know, if we can get it down there, if we can get it up now. I don't know what we're going to do about this weather.
Well, let me see. You, didn't you say Berman was saving some hay with Mr. Arno?
Well, it wouldn't be that much. He doesn't have, it isn't that thick in there. He didn't fertilize it the way he should have, and it hasn't come up too thick in there. So we won't have, it only for enough for the little calves.
Out of that.
Out of that hay there, and maybe the milk cow, too. But there won't be.
I don't know,
Mr.
Arno.
He lives down there on the other side of the creek.
Yeah.
Just where you go around that sharp turn there, and there's an Arnold sign.
Yeah.
Says, he named the road there after himself.
Yeah.
And you go straight back in there. And he has all kinds of machinery. All kinds of bulldozers and drag lines and whatnot. I don't know. He does all his own clearing and everything back in there, and they're gonna build a home back in there too.
Oh, he's new there.
I don't think he's been there about 4 years, 4 or 5 years. He bought the East Orlando. I mean East. Oh, that Mobile Homes Estate down in there. They call it a different name now. I can't remember what it is. But anyway, back in there, his brother-in-law, Mr. Kent, owns that Mobile Home Estate. And they own that piece of ground across the lake, or across the canal-like thing there, going out to Lake Lucy. And they owned, about a 15-acre strip right in through there. So Mr. Arnold went over there and was looking at it, and he bought it from his brother-in-law, and then there was an adjoining piece, so he bought all that piece back in there. I don't know how many acres there is.
But he's not an old resident over there.
No, he hasn't been there too long. But he's really done some work on the length of time he's been there, because that's more or less been a swamp area going in. There was just no way of getting in, so he used all that heavy equipment to throw up a roadway to get back in there. Because there's just no way of going and coming unless you went over in a boat to get over there.
Is that where his hay is?
Yes, he's got a nice stand of Pangola out there, but he should have fertilized. He didn't put any fertilizer. But he's got several head of horses and a few cattle. And he wanted some hay to give them this winter. So, but Berman lost that bit that he mowed down for him last time. We just talked to him a few minutes before I left the house. He drove up. That was another thing that delayed me in getting away. And he was wondering if we could go ahead and mow the rest of it tomorrow and take a chance on the weather. Berman told him that he'd try. If it rained, it wouldn't be his fault. But he'd lost the other, and he hates to lose any more for him.
Will Pangola cure in one day?
Take about, his would take 2-2.5 days anyway.
Yeah.
It's thin, but ours, we usually leave it sun for 3 days.
Oh,
and keep turning it, you know.
Turning
it over.
Yeah.
So it would dry on and cure out on the bottom all the way through.
Well, I didn't realize it took that long.
It is if it's fertilized heavy, you know, if it comes up good and heavy and rank, and it takes a.
It's sappy, got a lot of juice in it.
Takes more. Berman has put it up. If it looks like it's good and dry, and maybe the weather doesn't look just right, and he thinks it ought to go up, and he'll go ahead and put it up. It keeps all right. But it is a dickens to load, you know, it's so heavy with all that moisture in it. And the more it dries out, the better it is to lift it.
It's
not quite as heavy. Some of those bales will be 100 pounds, you know.
Well, you've had a right spot going on. Didn't you have melons over there this year?
No, we got the eggplants, you know, Freddie Woods put in the eggplants. Yes, it was this year. I was thinking
some
it was last year.
Smith.
Yeah,
I
Mr. Smith. From over there at
Citra.
Citra.
I never heard of him.
I was thinking that's been a long time ago, the first of the year. I was thinking that was last year. That's how time goes by with me. It goes so fast, and then again, it doesn't. So many things happen that it seems like it should be a couple of years ago.
But Shirley, you weren't there to overlook him when he cut the melons.
No. Goodness. I think we bought him another tractor and I don't know what all without the... We never saw the first ticket on any of the trucks, any of the weight. Berman wasn't there to supervise how many melons went out, and I wasn't there, so we don't know how much we came out on that deal, really, how much we lost. But I know we lost. We didn't make anything near what we did before.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we didn't just about break even by paying the fertilizer and the labor and everything.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, he may have made a little bit on that. I don't remember. I tried to forget about it because it didn't pan out the way it should have.
You know, Shirley, some of your deals, you know, Berman deals have panned out nice, but a whole lot of them have sort of backfired, haven't they?
Well, he never comes out in the hole. If I do anything, I always come out far in the hole, but he never goes backwards. He might stand still, but he doesn't go backwards. And then again, he takes such a risk that it's a wonder to me that he doesn't go stone broke sometimes. But he's got the luck of an Irishman, because it just happens that he somehow or another he comes out about even if he loses it all. So
that eggplant looks mighty pretty.
I'm watching that guy. I'm going to plant eggplants myself next year. He is really doing some work out there. He's out there. He lives with them all the time, nearly.
Yeah. I didn't know there's that much work.
Oh, that man he's out there every day, nearly, from sun up to sundown. And he's got something going. But now they're producing. They're beginning to bring in some money for him. And he's taken off several truckloads since he's... already, you know, from this.
Well, now you didn't just rent him the land.
Yeah, that's all I did.
Golly.
Well, you see, it was sitting there barren. He wouldn't plant it in Bahia like I wanted him to. And I came back in June, and the ground looked unkempt, just nothing happening over there. And I wanted to see something happen if it was if it was wrong. So, I went over to Evanston, and I happened to run into Freddie, and he asked me if we were going to use that field. And I said, no, we hadn't any plans except for winter grass. And he says, I'll tell you what I'll do. He says, I'll give you $150 for the rent of it to plant these eggplants. And he said, when I get through with it in November, he said, you can turn around and use the fertilizer that's in the ground and the liming and put you in some winter pasture for the cows. And two, we could use that for our tax exemption, you know, for our taxes, that there was something in on that ground, because we have to show algae culture purposes on it. And we didn't have anything to use, so I told Berman that I'd rather see him use it for that than just let it sit there and not have anything out of it. You couldn't even put calves in there because there wasn't enough grass. It was just barren. So we decided to go ahead and let him use it, and he's got enough fertilizer. He just fertilized again now, heavy. So here it is, August, September, October, and November, and he should have them out of there in November, and then we can plant a winter grass, which will give us maybe 3-4 months of grass for the cows. I would have liked to got him in there earlier. I thought he'd, you know, be through earlier, but he said no, they'd be producing right through in November.
Somebody told me that eggplant were like okra. They just took everything out of the soil.
Well, that might may be because they keep harvesting. They keep producing, you know. You keep cutting them, they keep coming back like an okra plant does. And but he fertilizes right on, you know, just as heavy as he can without burning up his plant.
I've seen the land after they've had okra on it, and it won't grow poor man's weed. I mean, it just takes everything, not just the nitrogen, but it
may do this. We'll live and learn, I guess, after a while. But
I don't know. I've never. I just heard him say that.
But another thing, Berman had so much fertilizer left over from the watermelon. See, we bought the fertilizer, and Smitty was supposed to put it out. And Diskadam could do all the work because Berman couldn't be there to do the work, so they went 50-50. We bought, and he did. And he didn't put out all the fertilizer. He left it stacked up in the barn there where it wasn't doing us a bit of good. And if he had put it on those fertilizer, you know, on those melons, we'd have come out a couple of $1,000 more. No.
You just have to be there, don't you?
So he really wasn't doing his job. And
you got to take a hand in it.
But he got his
his
part of it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, Shirley. I was thinking the other day, I never heard of them until you mentioned them, and since then I've heard of them a number of times. Those fellas that started working on your house over there, the Fowlers. Whatever happened to them?
He's still in Hawthorne.
Yeah.
He still lives there, and he's he and another fellow, Schumann or Schumacher or something like that, is
yeah.
His name, is working with him now. And Fowler's doing the masonry work, and Schumacher's doing the carpenter
yeah.
work. So they sort of contract together.
That
place.
That place, from what I hear about them, they kind of go from one place to another, just sort of cause people. Trouble.
Really?
Yeah. Promising to do something and then not doing it and all like that.
Yeah. I heard one incident on him that he was supposed to have done. He promised to do and he didn't do. Which is the only complaint I've ever heard about him.
Oh, really?
And that's Mrs. Guthrie. She says that he was supposed to put her in a chimney or something or another. And he kept telling her that it wasn't going to work the way she wanted it. And he was supposed to tore out an old one and put this new type of thing that she wanted in there. And she really complained about him not doing his work. But from what he said about it, he said it was so discouraging trying to do something the way she wanted it that no one could have done it to suit her. And then whatever she did, he did do to try to suit her, she'd want it redone. It wasn't the way she wanted it. And then when he kept telling her that it wasn't going to draw, you know, the fireplace wouldn't draw, and it wouldn't throw out the heat the way that she wanted it made. But he kept telling her this, and she said no, she wanted it done her way, so they went ahead and did it her way, and the fireplace never did work right. And I think they... I forget how it happened, but anyway, Fowler said that he didn't quite finish the job, and he didn't go back out there. There was some kind of a dispute in it, and she said she wasn't going to pay him unless he tore something out and redid it or something of that. But and anyway, he got so disgusted, he just let it go.
Well,
he didn't go back.
You know, I've never heard Mrs. Guthrie get on a tear, but I know she can.
Boy, I she got on the Berman here not long ago, and again last night, and he says he just can't take much more of it, and he doesn't know what in the world is wrong with it. Here the other day, I don't remember whether I told you or not, he let the hay go for Mr. Arnold and went over there to put hers up. Did I tell you about that?
You just mentioned it down at Murphy's.
Yes.
That's
well, she came over there and told him, she said, Berman, something's wrong with the hay baler, and Marvin explained to him that it wouldn't tie knots. And Berman says, well, it's a little thing in there, and he tried to explain to him what was wrong with it. And Marvin says, well, I checked that. Well, he says, I said, honey, I said, I'll go tend to the cow and you go on over there and look at it and see if you can help him out. And he said, okay. So he went on over. This was, I believe it was on Saturday night, Saturday afternoon. And so Marvin and Burn went over there and they worked until after dark on it and finally found out what the trouble was and took the piece off and told Marvin that he would have to get another piece like that come Monday morning. Well, Mrs. Guthrie was up in the air. All her hay was on the ground. Berman had hay over here at Mr. Arnold's curing on the ground, and it was supposed to go up the next morning. It being Sunday, he had to work to get it up. So he says, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. He says, as soon as I get through over at Arnold's place, I'll come over here and bale yours for you. Oh, it's going to rain. She says, I'm going to lose all my hay. And she went on and on and on and on. So he said, well, I'll come over here in the morning and get what I can up as soon as the dew dries. And he says, it can't be long because I've got to go over there at Arnold's. He says, I'll go over there and rake that first. That's what it was. He's supposed to go over there and rake it and then come back over and meet her at a certain time and put up her hay for her, or put up some of it, and then go back and then over to Arnold's with his equipment. Now, he's going back and forth just to, you know, to satisfy her and to help her out. So he went over there with his tractor over at Arnold's, raked it, came over and met her, and he started baling what Marvin had already raked up. But he had pulled his baler along, gathering all this hay. Well, he had it raked, and he had picked up this hay and baled it. And when it didn't tie, that's right, when it didn't tie, it just fell over in a clump, you know.
Yeah.
Well, he went along and kept on going, hoping that it would tie, and he did over 100, something like 100 and some, 5 or 6 bales. And rather than get out and scatter it out there in the windrow, he just left it. Well, Berman come along, and he started baling this.
And he
kept shearing pins. As he'd go along, he kept shearing pins. And it was taking time. He'd have to get off and fix his baler and then get back on and bale some more and shear another pin. And he got disgusted. And he told Mrs. Guthrie, he says, I'm going to have to quit. He says, I got to go. He says, I've been wasting more time shearing pins here. He says, I can go over there and bale all that and not shear one pin. He says, Marvin's got it all up here in a windrow that no one could bale. So you're going to have to scatter it out. Well, she got mad. She said, if I scatter it out, it's going to take that much more time to get it up. You know, I'd have to stop and rake it up again. So he says, well, I don't know what you're going to do, but he says, I got to get over there and get Mr. Arnold's hay up. And she knew, she had listened to the weather report that morning. She knew there was a heavy rain coming in from Jacksonville. We hadn't heard the weather. We weather people, we don't even listen to the weather. But anyway, she says, all right, she said, if you want to go over there and get his hay up in that mine room, go ahead. Go right ahead. Now, Burton looked at her, you know, and he didn't know what to think, but he was willing to do it if the hay had been so that he could have baled it. So he went on over to Mr. Arnold's, and he told me to meet him over there about 1:30, 1:45. And I got over there. And he just left her field and went over there and went to turn a sharp turn into the barn in a hurry, trying to get to beat this rain that was coming up, the biggest dark cloud you ever saw. And he turned too sharp and bent the PTO all to smithereens. So by the time this welder that was over there got it straightened out, there come the biggest downpour you ever saw about the time I crawled in the turn into the barn. And boy, was he mad.
I imagine he'd be hard
to live
with for a while.
He was sick. And Mr. Arnold was counting on that hay, you know, Mr. Arnold was there. Well, Dodd, he says, don't feel too bad about it. He says, maybe we'll get the rest of it up. And he kept trying to make Berman feel better, you know.
Yeah.
And all along, though, he hated that he lost his hay, too, I know.
Yeah.
He says, you were trying to do her a favor. And then come back over, and Berman bawled him out because the rain got her hay.
Yeah.
And she just bawled him out. And boy, he come home and he says, my tongue's almost bitten too. He says, I almost said something. He says, here I was trying to do her a favor, and he says, I couldn't get the hay up, so I had to go back over and finish Arnold's hay regardless of whether it rained or not. And he says, because I promised the guy I'd get it up. And he says, then I come back over here, and she balls me out because I didn't get her hay up and it got soaking wet.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Shirley, let me tell you, Marvin is just an ordinary mechanic, isn't he?
Well, he tries. I give him credit because he'll get out there and he'll try to do it, whether he understands it or not. He'll try to look into it and see what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
And I give him credit. But she'll get out there and she'll bawl him out and call him a stupid and he can't do anything and he never could do anything and he never will do anything. And well, you know, if a person keeps telling you that, you're not going to feel like doing anything. So... But she will. She'll stand over him and cuss like a sailor and tell him that he's no good for nothing. Oh, makes my skin crawl.
Well, you know, when they got all that expensive equipment, and so much of it. Well, now you say that's not so much, but let me tell you, for one man to keep up a mower and a rake and baler and a tractor too, and keep all that going
and do all your own mechanicking rather than to hire it done.
And let me tell you, they bought it from that worst hay place.
Yeah.
You see up there, that Ford tractor
Ford.
Place.
Mm-hmm.
They can't, you know, every man that's owned that, half a dozen men that's owned that, have lost $6,000 on it, and they keep it a little while and they don't get anywhere. And you see, they're not responsible for anything. Now, that summer when they were buying that, I inquired around, and I found this Red Smith down here at Ocala at the Rush Tractor, Alice Talman's. And
they've got good equipment there.
And he stands behind it, and he'll keep it going, and he's got the parts.
That's right. Now, she had to send him to Georgia to get this piece to fix the hay baler. It didn't come in until last night, and she came over and she told Berman, she says, here's the part for the baler. Berman said he almost fainted. He said right away he knew that she wanted him to quit what he was doing and go over there. And I had these cows shut up in that pen for 2 days, ever since yesterday morning, the day before yesterday morning. And they stayed in that pen all day yesterday and then and all day the day before. And all that night. And I told Berman, I said, I got to get him out of that pen. I had 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 head in that little, you know where that little pen is right there at the barn.
Yeah.
And I had to keep water all day long in a little tub, and they dumped that out, and her step in it, get it all muddy, and I'd have to go down there and change it every hour or so. And you couldn't feed them because one would get all the feed and the other would get none. And I told them, I said, I have to get them out of there. And we weren't ready for them to. I couldn't put them down the last field because they had taken the gate down for the machinery to turn around that corner. And I couldn't put them in the hay field. And I couldn't put them in the eggplant field. So I had them. And I couldn't put them, turn the calves back out again. See, I was culling the calves off of the cows to wean them and to vaccinate them and whatnot. While the vet was out there tending to that cow, I got all those heifers up and let them vaccinate them. So, I had them all pinned up in that pen, waiting to put them in that far field, and all he had to do was to hang a gate for me. And he couldn't get the time to hang that gate, so when he came in that night, I said, you go hang that gate or no supper. So he went down to hang the gate, and while he was hanging the gate, here she came. And she wanted him to drop what he was doing right then and come over and fix her hay baler. And he says, honey, he says, Miss Guthrie, he says, I gotta hang this gate or Shirley will kill me. He says, she's got to get those cows out of that pen. And it was almost dark.
Yeah.
So he went ahead and hung the gate, and I fed him his supper. Then we all of us together went down to let the calves out of the pen and walked them on up the hay field, up to the far end of the field, anyway. And when he told her that, she says, all right, go right ahead. She says, you're going to cause me to lose all my hay yet. She jumped in her truck and took off and hasn't said another word.
When was that?
That was last night.
Oh, last night? Yeah. Do you mean that piece has
just now come in from Georgia. She had to order it from Georgia.
Why, it's been since Labor Day.
Yes. Let me see. Sunday, Labor Day, was Monday, Sunday, the day before. Yeah. Day before. Saturday night. Saturday before weekend.
10 days.
Yeah. All that time the piece has been getting here. And she had hay on the ground and hay to cut. Of course, she couldn't have cut it anyway because if she had the wet rain, and got it. But might have done her a favor, because Marvin's going to get out there now, and he's going to cut it regardless of whether there's any rain coming or not.
Yes. Well, let me tell you, Shirley, I figured it was a mistake for them to get get all that equipment. Unless, you see, they had, were assured some help in keeping going. See, equipment not going to help you if you can't run it.
You know what she had Marvin to do? She said, Marvin, the reason why that thing won't tie knots is because it needs grease. Marvin took a grease can down there and the grease gun, and he greased everything but good. Now it won't tie a knot for anything because the thing will just slip out. It's full of grease. And it's not supposed to have any grease in there. And he just lubricated that thing but good, and Berman says, now that's got to all be cleaned out before it'll work proper again. Probably never work right again because she's got all those gears messed up in there. So now they are in a mess. And she still thinks Berman didn't know what he was talking about when he told Marvin. He said, Marvin, you sure should never put any grease in there. And she just, walked off.
Shirley, they've had a good life over there, all during Mr. Guthrie's time. But see, he kept it straight. He kept them old woods cows. And he picked up a little here and a little there.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't spend anything. And he didn't have any equipment. He had an old tractor and a old truck, and he got along.
But now they sure are getting anywhere.
Well, you just can't, like to say, you can't go from the Stone Age to the 20th century.
That's right. And here she's got all those cows, and she's buying hay and buying feed to glore. Well, I like to see her take care of the animals. But with all that machinery she's got, she can't afford to buy hay and feed. She should be able to work it somehow without, boy, if we ever bought the first bale of hay, Berman get rid of all my cows for me, because here we are with the machinery. If we can't, in the ground, if we can't raise hay, we don't
you
have.
You know, my luck last winter, you were over here during the winter, early spring, and you saw those cans, fat they were. I had all that oats and rye mixed over there, and I kept fertilizing a little bit, but I didn't, let me tell you, I didn't have over, not much over, $100 in it. Seed, fertilizer, and all.
Boy.
And it kept all animals going, including some of the old horses. You remember the old horses?
Yeah.
And generally, I buy $400 or $500 worth of protein. It's just no end to it.
If they've got that green grass, that's about, that is winter.
Way better last winter than it. And you see, the thing of it is, the reason it lasted all winter, it lasted up into April, was I let them in.
Rotate them.
And they didn't have to go every day.
Mm-hmm.
Just let them go in and fill up and then bring them out.
That's right.
Now, as soon as they fill up and lay down, they'll come out. But if you try to
get them out before they're full, they won't come.
They won't come.
No, that's what I wish I had some hay down there at the field, down there at the barn now. Well, now they're getting the green picking. They wouldn't hardly come up for those. But it being something new, they haven't had any all winter, the summer, they may come up to the barn, you know. But this is one way that I'm, anxious to get the hay up and start feeding them hay so that they'll gel down a lot more.
Yeah.
They'll come for that hay.
What happened, Faye? Where'd you get off to? it has been, I hate to think, I'm not good at figuring up dates. But it's been a long time since we did more than pass the time of day with Shirley.
I know.
I told you that Berman came over here a couple of times.
Yeah.
I never saw such entertainment in my life.
Let me tell you something before I forget about it. Talk about Berman and, well, his daddy's world on tell-all. He's up there in the Veterans Hospital, he's been in a very bad way because he didn't know whether he had cancer and he was laying there and expecting the worst and all this. Well, he still doesn't know any different, and it may not be any different than that. But the nurse came in and gave Daddy some pills.
Yeah.
You have a little round cup and a couple of pills in there. And he handed them to Daddy. Daddy says, "What's this?" And the nurse says, "Your pills." So he says, "Oh." And he took his water and he took his pills. And she turned around and left. And this colored man that's in the bed next to him on the other side of the room says, "Hey, Dodd." He said, "You take your medicine?" "Yep." "What'd you take, liquid or pills?" Daddy says, "Pills." And he said, "Well, what kind were they?" Daddy said, "Well," he said, stopped to think for a minute. He looked down in this little empty cup that he had there, even though the pills was in. He says, one was a Republican, one was a Democrat. And that, and I thought, those guys in there, I thought they were going to die laughing. And he says, you know something? He says, the way they're going around in my stomach, he says, they're not agreeing with one another. I thought I'd die. I had to leave there and go out in the lobby. He has not yet cracked one joke, and he said it so serious, and all the others in there with stitches and everything here, they were just laughing. I had to get out of there and absolutely just roll. I was laughing so hard. Here he'd been in there so dead serious. And
you know, you never hear Berman talk the way somebody else does. Why, he sat there, let me tell you, don't you tell him I said
no.
But he sat there and talked an hour straight, just entertaining. And you know, one of the things he talked about were those pets.
Yeah.
He said the pets, you were the getter of those pets, and he just despised them. But the way he talked about them, they looked like they were all his pets.
Yeah. That's it. And you try to get rid of that monkey, and he would be the first one to sit down and bawl. He literally hates that monkey, you know, sometimes.
Yeah.
And other times he'll get that monkey and sit down and just play with him, you know.
Yeah.
And have the biggest ball with him. And then you hear, but if I pick him up and he sees me just playing with him, I don't know whether he's jealous of the monkey. Oh, that darn monkey, do something with him. Get rid of him. But then a minute later, I can walk in the house and forget about the monkey. Here he is playing with him.
Well, that monkey is, I'm not a friend of the monkey, but I've seen him over there. He's a good Lord. He just entertained you half a day, wouldn't he?
Oh, I get carried away with him. You can just hold him in your hand and hold him upside down. He loves to be tickled, you know, around the stomach. And you just scratch him a little bit, and he just chitters away at you, you know, just like he just loves that, you know, and he loves affection. He loves to be petted. But, like I said, I think Berman's jealous of him, because if I show any, you know, interest in any of the animals, that darn thing, why don't you get rid of him? But he'll come along behind me and just...
What have you got now?
Well, let's
those
see.
Guinea pigs, are
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they've got 9, I think, there now.
Oh, they've
nine?
Got some of those in there now? What do you call them?
Guinea pigs? Those guinea pigs?
Were they guinea pigs?
There's 3, 6, 8. There's 8.
Now they stay
8
in the house.
No, they're out there in their little cage out there in the.
Oh.
Well, there's none of them in the house.
Well,
there was one in the house one time. Maybe that's what you remember. And it was sick. I was taking care of it there on the porch. Yeah, that was.
You don't have any pets in the house?
Oh no, but the monkey helps himself. See, he's like a cat. And the cat's getting him. The cat's good, and he'll pick up the cat by the tail and swing it out the door, you know. And
oh, he will?
Yeah. Well, he can't stand them in the house, and I can't either. But Bonnie brings them in, and I kind of, you know, let her enjoy them because I don't know how many days they're going to last. You know, if he gets so tired of them, he might put them in a box and take them off.
Yeah.
Take them to the Humane Society. But so I let her enjoy them when he's not there, and she'll bring them in, sit down, watch television or something, and pet the cat while she's sitting there. She enjoys that more than anything, so I let her go ahead. So the cat thinks now... When he's not there, the cats come in, see?
Oh, I see.
But a lot of times he comes in, she's sitting there petting the cat, or the cat's wiggling the door when we're not watching, and then he comes in and sees the cat, and he has a cat. Yeah, but he likes them outside. He doesn't mind them being outside, but he doesn't like them in the house.
Yeah.
And I don't either. I'm always afraid they'll get up on the table or something.
And they will.
I can't. Yeah, they will. They'll try to get they're inquisitive. They want to look just like the monkey.
Yeah.
The monkey will come in. The first place he goes is to the table. And what makes me mad, if I'm making a pie and rolling out the dough, you know, he loves that dough. And if I don't think to get him a piece of dough before he gets in the house, if anybody goes out, he's in before they can shut the door. And he'll run up there and he'll stand right on the table waiting for his piece of dough.
Yeah.
And if I don't get it, he'd help himself. So I get him a piece of the dough and put him back outside. But Berman saw that one time and he liked to have a fit. That monkey got on his table. I had to take Clorox and everything and scour that table.
Is that right?
Oh, but he's fond of them as long as they don't get him, you know, getting his.
Well, now, you get the pets.
Yes, I get anything the kids want.
If they want them, you get
them. I'll go get them, whatever it is. I'll go get it.
He don't do it.
Well, now he got the monkey.
Yeah.
He did.
He did. He ordered the monkey. Bonnie wanted a monkey for Christmas.
Well, he sure wasn't holding up to it over here.
Oh, I know he won't. He'd never get another one. He said, if anything ever happens to that monkey, he said, I'll never get another one. I said, well, nothing's going to happen to her. I'll just get her bread.
Oh, I wish you could have heard that talk. It was
really something.
Oh,
and he was so cute about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was just so cute about it.
And everything he said was something they did.
The pets.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, he, you think, have you got to understand when he says, understand him better than most people do, but I had a girlfriend tell me one time, she said, it was years before I understood Berman at all. She said, he'd say something, and it would make me mad. And I'd notice he'd never laugh, you know, when he'd say anything. But he'd jokingly say something and say it with a dead serious look on his face.
Yeah.
And then he'd go on to something else, and then he wouldn't explain himself, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know what these people would think. It wasn't maybe anything that would embarrass them, but it was just something that they would misinterpret. And he'd go on to something else and never would clarify it. And this one girl, she said, you know, she said, I've known him for many years, and she said, I always thought every time he came over here, he was as hard as a hard-boiled egg. She said, I just thought he was the meanest father and husband he could be. She said, that's just the idea I got from him, you know. But she said, now that I know him better, she said, there couldn't be a nicer guy. So she understood that, you know, each time he said anything, it was all a joke.